Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdgasm Podcast, the podcast where we talk about things that are nerdy and things that are naughty. For Merlin Sensei, please press 1 now. For the 12-sided guy, please press 2 now. For Switch Riggs, please press 3 now. For the Mupacabra, press 4 now. You have pressed 4. For the Mupacabra. That makes us all the movie phone of Nerdgasm.
Hooray. I'll be honest, I was expecting the pound key to come up in there.
You know, I wasn't 100% sure where I was going with it, whether or not it was just going to be like, stop pressing the 4 button so many times. We heard you the first time.
I thought we might have to get to 69 to get to Moo.
I almost thought about skipping Moo and playing for any other choices. Please press pound. You have pressed pound. You want to pound the Mupacabra.
96, the cost of eating out has gone up.
There you go. Just smash your face against the keyboard now.
Yeah, that's right. How's everybody doing this week?
We'll go with that. We'll just fake it till we make it. I have, guys, I'll be perfectly honest, because we're about honesty and open communication on this. I have nothing left to give this week. I started my day this morning already at, like, a level 12 dealing with the issues. And then, like, it only went up from there, and then just kind of, like, I was done by lunchtime. Like, my last official meeting of the day was at 1 o'clock, and like from 1:37 when that meeting finished, for the rest of the day it was just like, all you gotta do is like not die or scream at anyone, you know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't even a terrible day, but it's just, there reaches a point where like you can't. I spent a whole bunch of time looking for a door that just doesn't exist, and when I say it doesn't exist, I mean like there's 3 of them. There's this door, so it's like, it was like 170A, 170B, and 170C. And Dressplex came to meet me for dinner, because, lunch. It was lunch. I took a lunch at 5:30 today. It was that kind of day. And so, he came with me. And so I know I'm not insane, right? Because he saw the door just wasn't. It wasn't there. Like, I sent 2 students out, and they're like, the door doesn't exist. I'm like, that's horseshit, guys. Like, let's not be lazy, all right? Because we have a tendency of going, oh, I can't find it. And I'm like, I swear to God, it's there. So I sent 2 more students out, and I sent them, they're like, it's not there. So-and-so and so-and-so already said so. And I was like, okay, here's the floor plans. And I hand them each a binder. I'm like, go find it. It's fucking there. Like, they... 3 whole doors didn't just disappear into oblivion.
Sounds like they no-clipped into the back rooms.
I went and I looked. I looked for 170A, 170B, and 170C, and I found nothing.
Is that the end of the block, and then it goes to, like, 171A or whatever, and there's just nothing in between?
No!
Or does it now end at 169C?
No, that's the crazy part, right? Like, you start at 100 for the set of office suites, and then it goes through, like, the rest of the lobby, not lobby, what do you call them, like, lounge areas, and then you get into the hallway with, like, the actual student rooms, and those are through the 120s up to 154, and then you get into, like, the bathrooms are 190. So you're like, okay, we missed 154 to 190, where the fuck did they go? And that's not uncommon. We tend to skip to, like, the next whatever big number when we do the bathrooms. And sometimes you'll get, like, a room within a room. So, like, you'll key into the housekeeping closet, and then it'll have, like, 3 or 4 adjacent rooms. It's, like, the slop closet off of the slop closet kind of thing.
Subrooms.
Yeah, and so, again, I'm kind of familiar with that, and so that's what I was thinking I would find, and maybe just we missed it. There's no fucking door. And so, I have to go back. Like, it just was obnoxious, because
is it possible that they set up like a drywall barrier over the area and now it's just secluded in Narnia?
I mean, it must be in fucking Narnia. Like, somebody call Mr. Tumnus because he owes me a key card, but like, we'll figure it out. I can't. I don't know.
There's somebody living rent-free in these mystery rooms that's sure, just not like there.
I'd be worried that they're backroom doors. And if you find them there, that's a problem.
As in, quote, the backrooms, end quote.
Yes. That's what I meant.
Some of you will understand that. Some of you will not.
My key opens things that most people's don't, right? And so I went in all of those type of rooms to try to figure out if there was a room off of it, like basements and boiler rooms and all of those types of things. And it's just not there. And today was just one of those days where, like, I don't like to micromanage. I know you will maybe find that as a shock that I don't like to micromanage, but I really don't. I think it's demeaning when I have to be up somebody's ass to get something done. And so we had a specific task this week that I thought, oh, I'll just give it to them. They can handle it. It won't be a problem. I don't need to be.
You have to remember that these are the same people working for you that don't understand what on-call means.
We're getting there, right? We're getting there. Though today we did have to have like a, guys, you would think when you answer a phone call, what's the first thing you need to do? Like, well, one, answer the fucking phone. We've gotten that far, right? We're answering the phone now. But
should you greet the other person and potentially introduce yourself or the position that you're in? Or do you just go, what?
And so we've got that down now, right? So we're getting there. But people will call me and go, hey, there's a problem with the door. I'm like, uh-huh.
Okay, who is this?
Yeah.
Which department? What door?
Who's calling me? Where are you? Like, all of these things that you need to know, right? So, like, there's just no way for me to... I can't help you if you don't give me any information. So, we're working on information gathering. We're working on a lot of things. I don't like to micromanage, but, like, I had to be a dick today. Because stuff's getting skipped. Stuff's just not happening. Like, we found a door. Like, this is going to sound so silly, but, like, our doors are powered by AA batteries. It's that simple. It's like a children's toy when you take the back of it off. And so today, I had to look at them, and I go, guys, I assumed that everybody knew this, but does everybody know how batteries work? And they all looked at me like I was being an asshole, right? I'm like, we understand, like, positive, negative, right? We know how that, and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. I only ask because we found a handful of doors now that, like, y'all took the old batteries out and just didn't put any back in. And then, like, we've also found doors where, like, you put them in backwards and now they leaked battery acid and they destroyed a $1,200 controller. So, like, I'm asking,
why does something that runs on AA batteries cost $1,200?
Well, I can explain this. So, basically what happens is we use...
Well, then again, I'm sure there are $1,200 vibrators out there.
So we use smart locks where I work. A lot of schools do.
Remind me again, this is the University of Mount Rushmore, Go Fighting Big Heads?
Exactly, University of Mount Rushmore, Go Fighting Big Heads. We use a very similar system to a lot of other schools. And the problem is, these smart locks, they only communicate with the network twice a day. That's how it works. So, because if they communicated on a constant basis, all we would do all day, every day is change batteries because they would just be drained. And so what happens is,
I mean, makes sense.
So, they're great because they're smart, which allows us to handle some lockouts remotely. It allows us greater control over, we can see who's getting into spaces. We can see who's supposed to be getting into spaces. We can see who's not getting into spaces when they should be able to. We can see, like, there's a lot of things, and it gives us a lot of, it's very user-friendly in certain aspects, but the problem with smart locks is sometimes they forget how to be smart. And we have to go in and remind them that they're locks.
Don't forget, these are smart locks, not wise locks.
I'm going to start telling people that. That's fantastic. That's the next time one of my students looks at me and goes, I just tried this 14 times and it wouldn't work. And the second you got to the parking lot, it started working. And I'm like, sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes you just got to put the fear of mom in them. And I show up and I'm like, what the... And then it works. But like, so we use these controllers inside the doors, and it helps. My understanding is that it helps keep the lock from communicating on a constant basis. Otherwise, okay. So it's a weird process, and it makes sense in some aspects. It doesn't make sense in others. But like I said, I sound like an asshole when I have to look at people and go, everybody knows how battery works, right? Good end, bad end. Good end, bad end. Like, it just, you know, you gotta put the good end where the good end goes and put the bad end where the bad end goes, and don't flip them or you'll fuck it up. And then when you
never
fuck
go
it
ass
up,
to mouth.
I wish I was allowed to start saying that. If I started telling my staff never go ass to mouth, I bet a battery would never go in backwards ever again.
Sprinkly dingly part goes in the butt.
Yes.
Just like a butt plug, you know? It goes into the negative end.
It's one of those things where, like, you don't want to... I don't want to be the boss that treats people like they're stupid. But at the same time, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Like... And I'm really tired of repeating, because the theme for the last couple days has been, if we do it right, we don't have to do it twice. And I just repeat that ad nauseum. If we do it right, we don't have to do it twice.
In this particular case, yes. However, there are some extenuating circumstances where if you do it right... It may take 30 minutes, an hour, but then you can do it twice again.
Oh my god. So yeah, it's been like, I'm just at a point where like, my ability to be professional about things is running thin. And so there are times when I literally just want to look at these kids, and I shouldn't call them kids, but they're kids, and go, like, just go, the fuck, bro? And that can't be my official answer to things, but that's where we're getting. Like, tomorrow, I told everybody, I handed everybody a t-shirt, right? And I said, this is what you need to wear on Friday. And they went, but what about? And I said, no. Couldn't we wear another one of the t-shirts? No. This t-shirt, this one right there, I need you to put it on your body on Friday. And if you don't, I have to make you. Like... And then your name tag, right? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, the clip ones? And they're like, they have clips? I'm like, yeah. You all have them clipped to your keys. I need you to clip them to your person. And the one kiddo was like, so like when you say on your person, you mean, and I'm like, up here. Like, I want it up boob height. Like, I don't want to be staring at people's crotches to figure out their name. I need you to put it up here so that I can see your name. And I know your name, but other people don't. Like, a lot of other people, and they're all coming tomorrow. All of them. They'll be here this weekend, and so I need you to wear... Well, what if I don't like this color? Well, you should have picked a different school, because that's one of the school colors. Shut up and put the shirt on.
And then, that's right.
None of this, like, all of this is reasonable, right? Like,
tangerine and teal, go big heads!
I'm just imagining her wrestling the mascot to the ground and forcing a shirt onto the giant head.
Because
the mascot, so it's even bigger than normal head.
In case you're wondering.
Oh man, that's a big head, big head.
You have to put the shirt on before you put the head on, and a mascot typically wears between a 3 and a 4X, depending on how chubby the mascot is. And I say this.
I'm a mascot!
I say this having worn the mascot costume multiple times.
Just remember one thing, Moo. No matter how upset you get, how frustrated, don't get caught on security camera hitting an inanimate object that is literally a piece of junk with a rubber mallet. Otherwise, you will be fired.
I'm well aware of that fact, actually. I'll have to tell you an interesting story about that, but I know people that,
Yes, 12, I know from experience.
We're very big
on... But it sounds like you both do, so I need to hear these stories.
Oh, that's how I got fired from my last job.
Professionalism is...
I hit a piece of junk with a rubber mallet, and they're like, no, what if you had hit a person or a piece of equipment? It's like, I didn't. I specifically hit this piece of junk that was in the garbage, basically. Because I was upset and frustrated that, you know, there was nobody here on a Friday, which is one of our busiest days.
I know somebody that kicked a trash can.
And it was, you know, in the back room, in the tech room, where nobody could see it. None of the guests could see or anything like that.
That's somebody...
Please tell me your mallet story is cooler, Moo.
No, mine was not a mallet story, but somebody, they kicked a trash can, punched a trash can, pushed it, something like that. But Suplex. They did it. I wish. That'd be fantastic. But they did it where somebody could see him, and they said that they didn't feel safe, and I...
Real quick, how privileged are these kids at your work? For goodness sakes.
I'm bitching about them, but really, like, they're good kids, right?
Okay.
The Here's bulk the thing, of my though. Frustration... Hang on. Like, I do want to make sure people know, though, like, I'm not shitting on my students. They're great. But they are 17 and 18. A couple of them, I think one of them is 19. And they're student staff. So we have always... Higher education is a very different field. And I have had to explain to my employees already. I have a couple that are kind of kiss asses. Love them to death, but they're kind of kiss asses. And they will explain, you know, that's what they're like, I think you're a great supervisor. Thank you for being wonderful, which I appreciate a lot. Like, I can't tell you how much it means to me when somebody tells me that. I had an employee give me his 2 weeks notice and tell me, hey, you've been a great supervisor. And that means the world to me.
Do you hand them a tissue and say, wipe the brown off your nose?
Get back to work? I don't do that. what I do say is this job allows me to be the type of supervisor that I am. This shit does not fly in the real world. Me as a supervisor does not exist at fucking clam subs. That's not a thing. It's just not a thing that I can do. In a higher education environment where we are student focused, where we are putting the student first in student employee, it allows me to nurture them as individuals, to care about them as individuals, to want them to succeed, not just as employees, but as people, whereas other jobs don't do that. So some of these students, this is their first job, and they get fucking me in, like, halfway to mom mode, right? So, like, it's kind of like the situation I described before. It's like they're all going to hit a moment where they realize, I might be friendly, I'm not their friend. And it's coming. And it happened the other day when one of them went, but I don't like yellow. And I went, shut up. Put the shirt on. That's it. Or like this morning when I went, everybody is standing and watching them move that, or standing and watching me move this, and like, I need you to not, like, fucking do the thing.
It must be. You have to remember, thing.
Switch. Well, that's what I was going to kind of say. You have to remember, the four of us have a lot of real world experience because we have all worked multiple jobs. We've been through the chopper of life. We've been kicked down the stairs time after time again and taught, do this, not this. But when I say do this, not this, I want you to do this other thing. Don't do this, and definitely don't do this.
Yeah. And or do the third, like, thing, but with the attitude that you would use for the first two. Like, it.
Right.
I don't know. At 16, I was working in a pizza shop, and I understood how to operate everything in there. I'm not worried about it.
Well, that's the thing. And it's not even necessarily, you know, it's not only have we had X amount, and it may be a generational thing, but also, like Lou said, you know, she's a supervisor that cares about where these kids go. And unfortunately, and I'm not necessarily blaming the school systems necessarily, but some teachers, honestly, teachers don't get paid enough to give a fuck.
No.
They have 70 people in one classroom when they're supposed to have maybe 20, you know? And it's just like, I had 20 fucks to give and 50 more students that I need to somehow find fucks for.
Yes. I'm not saying anything with students or I'm not trying to blame anybody. It's just very confusing when you say they don't put a battery in correctly or someone doesn't.
Well, I think what it comes down to, right, is like we stress efficiency, right? And we stress get this done, get it done fast. And they get stuck on fast. And part of efficiency is accuracy as well, right? It's not efficient if we have to redo the work. And so these kids are here for their very first job, some of them, and they want to do a good job and they want to be good employees. I have literally, again, I got to stop calling them kids, but they're kids until they have kids. These kids are like teeny tiny babies. So a lot of them have never left home for the first time. They've never lived on their own. They've never, like, our first week, I had kids ask me, is it okay if I go to the bathroom? I'm like, you're a grown adult. Like, please don't pee on my floor. Get out and go. Like, I don't.
To be fair, there are some jobs out there that are like, no, you go on your allotted time. You don't get to go before that.
And I get that.
Thank looking at you, Amazon.
So it's.
I was thinking more like factory work, but.
Yeah, thank you, Bezos. Making them pee
in
cups.
He's not in charge anymore, so.
So sure. I just. The sad thing is most of my frustration is not even because of them, right? Like, all of these are small things. They're 17 and 18, and I expect to spend a lot of time being like, hey, can we change the way we do this? Hey, can we change the way we do this? Hey, can we double check what we're doing? But, like, I only have so much emotional bandwidth, and, like, 90% of it is taken up with custody crap right now, and then I have about 10% left to try and be good at my job. And it's just, like, I literally, like, I was half asleep before we started this podcast. I'm still not really all the way with it.
It's okay.
Last night, I felt like garbage. I was like, I have nothing left to give. I have absolutely nothing left.
Even halfway here, you're more entertaining than the other three of us put together.
It's true.
Because I just don't shut up.
By the way, when Moose said teenage honey babies, did anybody else think that that's an amazing title for a slime
first
girl
of all,
hentai?
Yes. I said teenage tiny babies.
Oh, I thought you said teenage honey
babies. Tiny babies. If I call my employees honey babies, that's assault.
It's a, like, it's a Prego slime girl hentai. Let's go.
That is a Title IX infraction, sir. We do not call employees honey babies.
Nope. Well, we're not part of your employment, so we'll call them honey babies.
I will now be accepting fan art of 18 and 19-year-old teenage honey babies.
Yeah, my last kid turns 18 on the 10th. They're little. They're babies.
Anyways, yes, I feel it's a generational gap because I knew how to do a lot of the things that they're doing when I was 13. It's just a different way of growing up, though. You know, it's not a school thing. It's a common sense thing on a lot of those things from what you're talking about.
You did bring up an interesting point that it may also be an income based thing.
They grew up differently than us. That's you know. So their scope of what they do or not know or know is different than what we know.
But it's just crazy too, because we get students, right? Like, there's a kid, 23. His mom called the office, not my office, but one of the other offices, to complain about something. And I'm like, your kid is a senior in college, and you're making his phone calls for him still? Still? Like, at what point are we doing a disservice to the students by not forcing them to advocate? You can time out me all you want. Moms have no place calling my office.
I don't disagree with you. However, in very small defense, there is a lot of anxiety tied with making any type of phone calls, especially when it's supposed to be in my own best interest. I still have not called to make a physical for myself to see, you know, if I'm slowly dying or not. And I don't mean in the Sylvia Plath matter of the word. Sylvia Plath? Did I get it right this time? Cynthia Plath?
Sylvia Plath.
Sylvia Plath. Nor have I called Jobs and Family Services to see if I may potentially be able to...
You can do all that online, Merlin.
Get food stamps or something. I know, but that, it's still hard.
I can relate with the kid as well. Let's take this last one. Because I did not know exactly how to set up a doctor's appointment until 2 years ago, because it had always been done for me. It was never taught to me ever on that one. So.
Well, hey, I mean, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
No, I'm going to take the unpopular take on this. I am so fucking sick of people using anxiety as a reason not to do things.
Well, it wasn't anxiety.
I'm sick of it. No, I know. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying I'm tired of hearing this, because that's what I hear day in and day out from my students. And I know, yes, we should accommodate for people. Of course we should accommodate for people. But at what point does our continued accommodation do a disservice to the individual? We are cutting people's legs out from under them. Anxiety is hard. It sucks. And I recognize that I'm very privileged to not deal with all of the types of anxiety that some people deal with. But I have my own anxieties as well that I deal with. I get it. It's not fun. There are things that are cripplingly difficult. I understand that. However, you have to find your normal and you have to exist in this world. Period. And everybody uses anxiety as a reason to do nothing. And I hate it. You have to find a way to be a part of the, like, or then you don't get to do things, period. If you have people accommodating for you and you still refuse, fuck you. I'm done. I'm so irritated with trying to accommodate everybody. And I know this is an unpopular opinion. I do. I'm so, so, so tired of making bend over backwards accommodations for people because they're anxious. And then they just don't even, it's not that they don't try to meet you halfway. They don't try to meet you three quarters of the way. They look at everything you've done and go, no. Fuck off. I'm done. I'm absolutely done.
I agree that, okay, when it goes that far, I absolutely agree. You know.
I actually have a parent calling in story from my work that, so my boss is like in his 40s somewhere, mid to late 40s. We're in a restaurant parking lot after work, grabbing a bite to eat, and some kid about the age of your students in I don't know the type of car, the name they give those, the cars that kids like fix up to go really loud and fast. Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
What?
That's just off.
A hoopty.
A hoopty. Okay.
Yeah.
Or tuner, some people call them. He cuts us off, and my boss, if you've heard the previous stories, is a very short temper. So he starts flipping out on this kid, who then comes to the window, right? My boss continues to flip out. That kid's dad called my boss's dad to complain about the car. Yeah, because the company logo and everything is on the side of the car. Right, so he calls into the business, or the kid's dad calls into the business to complain about this confrontation, and gets my boss's dad. So when I find out about this story, it's because his dad, or the guy's dad, talked to his dad. I was just like, you are in your 40s, and you have people talking to your dad about your temper tantrums?
The absurdity of that, like, I guess maybe this is just my relationship with my mother, right? Like, the thought of somebody calling my mom to tell her that I did something wrong, my mom would tell them to fuck off. My mom did, actually, essentially. They took me to court when I was 17 years old because my attendance was bad. Like, my mom was pissed that they made her go to court, and she looked at the judge and went, she has straight A's. Why am I here? She has straight A's and she's not even in school. She's doing it from home. What is, like, do you not have somebody else to worry about? Like, again, granted, not A-plus parenting at my mother's point, because clearly there was a larger issue. I mean, she was the larger issue, but, like, the thought of somebody calling my mom is just, I've had somebody do that where they're like, listen, if you don't stop, I'm going to call your supervisor, or I'm going to call, you know, I'm going to call Sally Smith if this doesn't stop. And I'm like, you want to call her? Like, I've got her on speed dial. We'll call her right now. Let's do it. Like, I can't anymore. I'm all customer serviced out. That's really where I'm at right now. There's just a certain level of customer service that I have to focus on every day, and I have none of it left to give. Stop being shitty people. Like, I can't. This whole world is nothing but accommodation after accommodation after accommodation after accommodation. And that's a big part of what my office does, is like make sure that students have what they need to succeed, you know? And it's like, no matter what we do, it's never good enough. No matter how many accommodations we make, it's always about, you know, we did A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Oh, but you didn't do H. Fuck you. I can't. I'm just done.
Are we ready to move on to another topic?
Sure, let's do it.
Great. All right, so the games that are coming out this week. First off, Saints Row. If you like GTA and you want a more mature, ooh, more than mature than GTA, play some Saints Row. And more funny and craziness.
I was,
is there a new one? Excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a remake, basically. It's going back to how the Saints started, I believe.
Yes, and you get to be great, boss, all that good stuff.
And I was excited about it. I was like, you know what? This might be cool. Maybe I'll play like Saints Row 3 or 4 to kind of like, you know, get ready for it or something like that. And then, of course, I get hit with the usual bombshell. It will be exclusive to Epic Games for X amount of time first. It's like,
oh no.
All right, fuck this then. I guess I'm never playing it. They can eat my dick.
Oh, no. You can't even ever play Tarkov either if you wanted to come to Steam.
Well, it's a good thing that Escape from Tarkov is on its way out with the Cycle Frontier on its way in.
Now, is this a launcher thing or an issue you have specifically with Epic?
Both.
Oh. What did Epic do?
In my opinion, Epic Games have created an unnecessary console war in the PC Master Race.
I never had an issue because I just use them both. There's no.
I just use the NVIDIA game launcher.
Yeah.
I have no problem with people that choose to use Epic Games. More power to you. I personally don't like them. I don't want to use them, and I'm not going to.
I'm not here to change your mind. Not here to change your mind. Thing is that my Epic Store links right with my Steam Store, so it get everything I need from either side. Anyways, next game.
Is that an Earth cookie?
Earth cookie?
It was an Earth cookie. I ate most of it.
Who's left? Australia?
I'll be honest, it was all pretty nondescript. It's mostly water and a little bit of some land mass. We can say it's Australia. I'll eat them last.
Okay.
It was Pangea.
Uh-huh. Next game that's coming out that I have on my list is SD Gundam Battle Alliance. Back to the chibi Gundams coming out from Bandai Namco. Coming to the Switch,
SD Super Default.
Coming to the PlayStation 4, PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox Series X. All of them. Again, another one coming for the Nintendo Switch, exclusively this one. This one caught my eye because I was looking at Football Manager because it popped up. It's coming up. Came out this week.
Football Manager or Football Manager?
Football Manager, not football. Any others, play baseball managers, basketball managers. This one is Idol Manager. If you wanted to manage your idol girls or boys, you can manage them and their relationships and how well they're singing.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, huh. They have a manager for everything.
Yeah, I've been playing Fitness Club Tycoon lately.
Yeah.
That's just the game I've had. That's my idol clicker right now is Fitness Club Manager.
Oh, when I say idol, I'm talking like a singing idol.
I-D-O-L. Idol Manager.
I-D-O-L, not I-D-L-E. Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah. And one more that I found noteworthy is a new Pac-Man World repack. They're taking, looks like, the old school Pac-Man, upgrading his resolution, playing, I think it's the original Pac-Man 3D version, where he has to save his family, and putting it onto the every console ever, except for, oh no, even the PC. So if you want to play with your happy-go-lucky Pac-Man with his smiling face and the evil...
Waka waka.
You know, he was originally called Puck-Man, blah, blah, blah.
That's
blah.
Right. But, Paku Paku, which is the sound of a mouth flapping, but, they want to call him Puck-Man because they were worried it would be defaced.
To Fuck-Man?
Yes.
True.
I love it.
All right. Geeky Weeky time. Let's go ahead and knock this out. I told you that your sneaky peeky for the Geeky Weeky that starts with Sunday, August 21st, was National Spumoni Day. It's also International Day of Remembrance and Tribute to the Victims of Terrorism, Internet Self-Care Day, National Brazilian Blowout Day. I believe that's a type of hair?
Yes, cut? It is.
Hairstyle?
Hairstyle.
And it's also Give a Dog a Bone Week. Monday, August 22nd, Be an Angel Day, Folklore Day, International Day commemorating the victims of acts of violence based on religion or belief, National Bao Day, which is like steamed delicious buns, National Pamela Day, I told you all these names this month, National Pecan Tort Day, National Rainbow Baby Day, National Tooth Fairy Day, and World Plant Milk Day. Be careful about the oat milk, though. I hear that there has been a recall on a certain type. I think it's specifically Oatly.
Oat milk. Oh, okay. We don't use that one. Good.
Tuesday, August 23rd, Cheap Flight Day. That basically means go ahead, go online if you're planning on a trip, because it is statistically the cheapest day to go ahead and book a flight. That, again, is Tuesday, August 23rd. It's also European Day of Remembrance for Victims of Stalinism and Nazism. Find Your Inner Nerd Day. International Blind Dog Day. National Cuban Sandwich Day, National Levi Day, I'm not talking about jeans, I'm talking about the name, National Ride the Wind Day, and World Water Week begins. Drink water. Stay hydrated. Wednesday, August 24th is International Strange Music Day. National Danny Day, of course, I'm talking about the name. National Emery Day, and I'm talking about the name again, not the fingernail boards. National Knife Day, that's not a knife, this is a knife. National Peach Pie Day, National Waffle Day, and Vesuvius Day. I'm not talking about the mountain, I'm talking about the name. No, I'm just joking, I'm actually talking about Mount Vesuvius. Thursday, August 25th. Day of Songun. Songun. I'm not familiar with that one. Forgive me if I said that bad. Kiss and Make Up Day. National Banana Split Day. National Burger Day. Hell yeah. National Whiskey Sour Day. Tim Burton's birthday. Might as well go ahead and mention that, since his Netflix series Wednesday is coming out sometime in the near future. And also Be Kind to Humankind Week. Like I always tell you, be excellent to each other, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
You could skip almost every other name, and I would be happy that you said Tim Burton.
I did.
I like it.
Friday, August 26th, National Cherry Popsicle Day. Literally my least favorite flavor. National Dog Day. National Kelly Day. National Logan Day. National Spark the World Day, National Toilet Paper Day, and Mother Teresa's birthday. Finally, Saturday, August 27th, the August Moon Festival, International Lottery Day, National Just Because Day, you know, just because. National Petroleum Day, National Pulse de Creme Day, Pulse de Creme. And also International Bat Night, and I am talking about the winged mammal. finally, your sneaky peeky at next week's Geeky Weeky that starts with Sunday, August 28th. National Bow Tie Day. Why? Because bow ties are cool.
Yeah.
I feel like we should start dropping just all the name days. We should put out a tweet or something. Just be like, hey, well, all the Bryans.
Assuming that I have time to do tweets.
45 years of Voyager 2 being in space, for all you space nerds out there. Ooh. On the 20th, timey-wimey.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Moo's Kink Quest Corner. So, I wanted to talk about a product that I did not know existed, that got ordered and came in the mail today, and I'm super duper excited about it. Would you grab that so I can show them? So, I think we talked about the magic wand on here before.
A classic.
I think it is. It's a classic. It's something that a lot of people know, a lot of people have used. I didn't know this. They make attachments for the magic wand.
Oh,
right.
I kind of knew that.
I apologize because it just looks very graphic. There's no way for it to not look graphic, but like, I also can't get it off of there right now. So like, this purple piece attaches to the magic wand, right? And so like, ours has these neat little bumpies and everything on it, and then this little piece—it's really cool. Like, it's really neat. They had a lot of different options.
Looks like it is a vaginal, clitoral, and anal stimulator all in one.
I will say that this side doesn't quite go that far to the back. This will hit the front, for sherzies. And then this one has like this nice little bump on it, which is, I don't know if you can see it through my, it's really great. This was $10 on Amazon. So this is one of those things where I was like, well, if it's awful, like I'm not going to be mad about it. I have not gotten to fully test it out. Like, I tried it for a hot second, right? It looks like it's
dishwasher safe, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it looks like it. Like, we cleaned it off. Like, I tried it for a hot second just to be like, let's see how this works. No, it seems like it'll be quite nice. So it was just kind of a neat little thing that I wanted to throw out there for people.
Or throw in there, for that matter.
Did we have a specific topic to discuss for King Quest Corner this week, gentlemen?
Yes, we did.
We were
asked, somebody had asked us to about...
That's why we need Moo.
Yes.
Super important stuff.
To talk about gender dysmorphia. And this is something that we've discussed kind of more privately before, but it's not something that we've ever... dysphoria. So, just for people that don't know, I'm going to go ahead and just read you the technical definition, because I want to make sure that I get this right. So, gender dysphoria is the distress a person experiences due to a mismatch between their gender identity, which is their personal sense of their own gender, and their sex assigned at birth. So, the diagnostic label gender identity disorder was used until 2013, and then the DSM-5 came out and everything kind of shifted a little bit. They basically renamed it to kind of remove the stigma with the term disorder. So basically there's kind of a lot that goes along with this. This is something that, I don't want to say there's a spectrum here, but I think we tend to kind of lump a lot of terms together. Gender nonconformity kind of gets thrown in with gender dysphoria. Body dysmorphia kind of gets thrown in. A lot of these kind of things are comorbid, meaning if you have one, you have issues with some of the others. But for me personally, like, this is not something that I can speak to. Gender dysphoria, specifically, is not something that I experience. I recognize that I'm very privileged, right? We had a conversation with my kiddos when we first moved in. Actually, no. That's a lie. So this came up with Coffee Cat. We were playing Among Us, and Coffee was talking, and my kids had never met Coffee Cat before. And so they asked me, is Coffee a boy or a girl? And we had a conversation about how that's not how we say things. You can ask what pronouns that they prefer to be called by, and we can go like that. But, and so with that came a whole discussion of, you know, some people feel like boys, some people feel like girls, some people don't really feel like either. It's come up a lot recently in my job because one of the things that our name tags have are our pronouns on them. And for me, I can say quite honestly, I don't care which pronouns you call me. I'll probably answer to you regardless. I recognize that I am incredibly privileged to be able to say that. It does not call, excuse me, it doesn't cause me distress to be misgendered. I've had it happen before. I typically have very short hair. Lately, it's been longer, but for a good portion of my life, my hair was very short. I've had kids ask me, are you a boy or a girl? And the parents are like, and I'm like, it's okay. Short hair confuses people. But I recognize that I'm privileged that I can do that, and it doesn't, like, that doesn't ruin my day. You know what I mean?
Not to be crass, but I wouldn't have thought that short hair would distract that much from kids.
You'd be surprised. And this was when I was larger chested. That's a big part of this. Like, we talk about gender dysphoria. Like, people's body types play a lot into this. People's ability to pass play a lot into this. This is a topic that for me, like, I have not talked about because I don't struggle with it. And I feel like it's a difficult subject. I don't want to do disservice to people who do struggle with this. Excuse me, because this is a very real thing for a lot of people. And it's just not something that I personally have experienced. When I spoke with my girls, and I say that because, you know, when we talked about Dress Black's older kiddo who uses they, them pronouns. I guess I can't say kiddo anymore. They're 18. They're going to be kiddo for a while. But I explained to us, well, you know, they don't really feel like they're a girl. They don't really feel like they're a boy. They would like to be called they. And my kiddo looked at me and said, Mom, I'm a girl. I said, that's great. And I'm really glad that you know that. Some people don't. And this is the one thing, I guess, I bitched a lot earlier about accommodation and how much I don't like it. This is one. I'll call you whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Like, you tell me what makes you comfortable, and I want to be there for you. And I want to support that, and I want to nurture that. Mm-hmm. It is, while I don't suffer from gender dysphoria, I understand body dysmorphia. That I do understand, and I'm not saying they're the same thing, but I'm saying there are some parallels, and I can understand what it feels like to feel like you're not what you want to be. Or you're not what other people see you as, or you're not XYZ. So I apologize that we are tackling this kind of in a weird way. It's because a lot of us in this room don't have that expertise to be able to have that conversation. We can come at this conversation from a place of allyship, for the vast majority of us. I think, I don't want to keep talking. Somebody else can say something while I think about how I want to phrase what I'm trying to say next.
If I remember correctly, when we talked about this subject, again, like Moose said, as she is, as I am not, I do not personally have any experience with gender
dysphoria.
Dysphoria, yeah. But, you know, just in general, you know, I've dealt, sort of speaking, with the ideal or idea, you know, of the toxic masculinity. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you're a boy, like boy things, you know, G.I. Joes and action figures and sports and stuff like that, and video games and guns and cars and whatever and stuff like that. And then it's just like, but this is my teddy bear Kuma.
Right. I think toxic masculinity and kind of I think there's been a focus on kind of trying to shift away from toxic masculinity. And I think in some respects that helps people, because we're being able to see a more complete picture of, quote-unquote, what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, the fact that we're using the label man and woman at all becomes problematic for a lot of people. I have a friend who is transgender, and he struggled for a long time. He had a complete hysterectomy. None of that is there anymore.
He looks fantastic, he does, by the way.
He's amazing. But he, every month, he had a period every month, and he's just like, this is awful. I'm not a woman, and I've never been a woman, and here's this constant reminder that my body is not doing the thing that I need it to do. This is not the body I'm meant to be in. Why is this happening? And again, so much better for him once he got that surgery. That was a huge weight off of his shoulders, just to not have to deal with that anymore. Can you imagine? I very much don't feel in control of a lot of the reproductive shit going on in my body. And obnoxious is not even the right word. It's heartbreaking. I have a lot of struggles with this, and it's all still within the realm, more or less, of what a normal female body does. And I hate it. I hate dealing with all of that. I hate dealing with the discrepancies. I can't even imagine having to deal with all of that when your quote unquote normal body shouldn't. When you're sitting here going, this is not a thing as a man that I should have to deal with, or this is not a thing as a woman that I should have to deal with. And here's this constant reminder that, your body doesn't do what it's supposed to.
All right. Can I talk now?
Yeah, I tried to let you talk earlier, and Merlin opened his mouth. I'm sorry.
You said somebody else talk, so I figured I'd go ahead and say something.
So since I have a little bit of information on this personally, instead of not...
I figured we'd let you share if you were ready.
I was trying to. I'm not at the level personally where I feel like I want to be someone else, or I want to be the other side of everything. If it was, so I also know, for everybody that can't see me, but you can probably tell via my voice, I am physically male. I personally, if it was a few years back and it was more normalized, I probably would have went through gender reassignment of some sort. Because mentally, and a lot of the different things that I think about or do, is more feminine. I think I'd rather be female than a male. A lot of the time, it's the toxic masculinity comes in. Thankfully, I was in a very privileged home where that was not as big of a case. That did happen, but I was able to back out of it, thankfully. But personally, I feel more comfortable in female clothing, but I present male every day to everybody, and I don't feel like I need to change that. One, because there's kids involved now. They're my girlfriend, they're Bunny's kids. We don't need to put them through that weirdness of somebody physically changing. And, that's one big one. If that wasn't happening, if I wasn't with Bunny, it would be a higher chance, maybe, now that it's a little bit more normalized to go through transition. But I don't know, at my age, again, I'll probably never do it myself, so it'll kind of be like a closet, female, essentially. I don't feel like I ever want to go out and drag or anything like that. And I wouldn't want to disrespect or offend anybody that has done the whole thing in just dressing up. Because I'm confused, I'm still confused about a person that dresses up for themselves and somebody that is fully transitioning. Where's that boundary? Is it gray? Is it black and white? I can never tell. No one really answers that question.
I don't know that anybody really answers that for anybody, and that's where that's why we do this podcast, right?
Yeah, you can only answer that for yourself.
Yeah, and the problem is that I want a scientific answer sometimes, And I understand that that's not the case with the situation. Like, if someone can give me a more scientific answer to, you know, this conundrum that I feel and think about, I feel better about it. You know, I understand, you know, there's non-binary, there's binary. It's like, I feel that I am physically male, but I'm just, you know, I think of feminine things more or less than anything else. And I enjoy, you know, those things more. It's weird. And my scientific mind wants to know the answer, but I can't get an answer because everyone's like, no, it's non-binary. I'm like, confused.
Right.
The problem is the issues you're worried about are not scientific.
I know.
It's a matter of societal norm, right? Societal norms we know are not scientific. So it's pink versus blue. It's frilly versus not. I mean, it's silly things like that to where I would simply encourage you to create your own space. So maybe you can't go out fully dressed, corset, but find a way, the little flourishes, the little touches, be more selective in your clothing that expresses how you feel inside a little bit better without feeling like maybe you're stepping on somebody else's territory. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think there's also this mindset, non-binary people do not owe the world androgyny. That's not what non-binary means. And I think there's this real push towards, if you say you're non-binary, you need to be blank. That's the point, right? The point of non-binary is it's not black and white. There is a gray. And that's where they want to be. Why are we trying to make this another category? It's not...
That's because humans are made to make... We are conditioned to think of categories.
Right.
Like, I personally grew up in a mindset that genes are okay for work, but a lot of people don't like that because of a social norm that was created.
That's right.
So.
Cargo pants in the workplace. I demand it.
We have the cargo pants versus khakis.
Pants, pocket, equality.
I don't know if I'd be able to do my job without cargo pants sometimes.
That's what I bet. Your job, though.
Yeah.
But, in regards, even going back, Dress Blacks is correct in, you know, pointing out that a lot of it is, you know, societal norms and stigmas and this and that. But, like, even when it comes to any type of, forgive me for not thinking of the correct word, but when it comes to any kind of mental attribute, so to speak, i.e. the way you see yourself or the way you think or, you know, your anxiousness or depression or whatever, you know, as we mentioned, the DSM-5 and everything like that. Like, I'm in a completely different boat, but I am rowing right next to Switch, so to speak. Like I have depression and anxiety, or at least that's what my counselor and my therapist and I have decided all together, talking it out and stuff. Because when it comes to things like that, there is no concrete test. There's no way of, like, let's just go ahead, take a syringe of blood. Oh, there we go. There's the depression gene right there. There's the, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, unfortunately, when it comes to mental attributes, you know, and everything like that, it's
yeah.
And everything's entirely up in the air, unfortunately. Yeah. But
in a big piece of it, I know where I started to think about it is when I kept my hair long all the time. It wasn't always long. It used to be medium height, if not short, when I was younger. I don't ever want to have short hair unless it's like apocalypse and we need to make sure I don't get tangled on something. but yeah, no, that first moment of I never want my hair to be short, and that was different for everyone, was kind of like that starting thought process, and that my mom and my dad accepted it. They're like, yeah, sure, keep your hair long, whatever. I felt that was, you know, helping at least part of it.
I think a lot, we've talked about societal norms. I think a lot of this, gender is performative in a lot of different situations. And I think that's a lot of what we talked about. But like, I know those people that experience like the gender dysphoria and things like that. This is not a societal norm and this is not performative. This is my body does not match, period. And so I do want to acknowledge that a lot of what we're talking about is more, I hate to say performative, but it's more societally based and normative based than it is actual physical manifestation of these issues. And again, this is just because, we're not experts. We don't claim to be experts. We have never been experts. So we are talking about this from the perspective that we have. And I just want to make sure that we don't, I just want to make sure that everybody knows we're not trying to put to light anybody's issues or how they experience this. I would say for those people out there that are maybe worried about, you know, the label, worried about the box, worried about the, what will people think? If you're in a safe place, like to be able to come out and that's something you want to do, great. I'm so happy for you. If you're not, or you don't feel comfortable, that does not make what you're going through any less valid. There are people that aren't out for a reason. Anxiety is one of the highest comorbidities when we talk about gender dysphoria. There are very real reasons why people don't share all of themselves. You are no less valid because you don't choose to share that. I don't want to say you're no less seen because you don't choose to share that. You are less seen. That's just kind of the gist of that. But like, there are people that support you and love you and care about you regardless. Congratulations, I'm your mom now. You didn't know it, but that's what you've got.
Yeah.
Normally. Oh, sorry.
But 12, do you got something to say? Because you've been quiet.
Wow, everyone else has been talking. I've never had that struggle. Like, I've never questioned my gender. I have somehow ended up the sort of socially adopted father to a handful of transgender people on TikTok. None of you should be listening to this, by the way. I've told you not to. This is way more about me than you ever want to know.
That's what I had to tell my students who immediately found this. And I was like, listen, first of all, you're not 18, so leave me alone. Second of all, you can't unhear what I'm going to say.
Come back when you're 18. We appreciate your viewership, though.
Yes.
That said, I have found that more often than not, the ones that end up wanting me to adopt them effectively are female to male or somewhere in between, but typically start off, you know, female and then transition into
assigned female at birth, I believe is the terminology we use now.
They're cis.
And they just want to be seen, right? Like, they just want to know that there are people, because as was said, the whole societal norms thing, huge parts of Western, well, really the world, for hundreds of years have been programmed, right? No, male, female, right? The shift away from toxic masculinity, as was mentioned earlier, isn't really there so much as the divide has grown, right? So there are more places for them to find safety, but simultaneously, as is probably you can guess from anybody watching the news recently, is the other side has also gotten a lot more active. And honestly, that's when this subject came up to me. That was basically the request, was like, hey, can you talk about this just so we can feel seen? Because just a lack of, surprisingly, there's a lack of content and resources out there.
Well, and that just boggles my mind. And I guess maybe just because I have always been around, like, the friend that I have, like, he started transitioning 10 years ago, right? So, like, this has been an ongoing part of my life that's just normalized. That's just what it is. He is he, and that makes sense. And when I met him, he was not, but he is now, and it's just like, of course he is. of course this is who he was always meant to be. And so for me, it makes sense and it clicks.
Yeah.
My understanding, as it has been explained to me, is that the biggest concern they have is that despite any resources or safe spaces out there, the protections aren't in place yet that...
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you know this being a woman, Moo, that, like, looking the way I do, I've never had to grip my keys for self-defense on the way to my car at night.
Yeah.
Right? And that's something that, that's blatant, that's painfully constant for them, is just the knowledge that at some point... some of these people can come into these spaces and taint them, sadly. So just hearing us talk about them and say, hey, you're seen, you have allies.
Some of these subjects, too, that come up, like, there's little things on a daily basis that, like, conversations we've had, and I'm trying to be cognizant of not sharing people's stories that they may or may not want to be told, but, like, if you want to talk about people who were, you know, assigned male at birth transitioning to female, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were like, where's the pockets on all your clothes? And I'm like, welcome to female clothing. There are no pockets. You don't get pockets.
You have to make your own.
You don't. You do. Like, you don't. You need a purse. You
get to carry a purse. Congratulations.
This is why we carry purses. You don't get pockets. Titmouse and I had that conversation the other day where she was like, I just want leggings with pockets. I'm like, you and like 99% of the female population, we would all like leggings with pockets.
When you went to one of the local establishments for sexual recreation, you had on a skirt with pockets.
Oh, that was ages ago. Yeah, I was like, when did I do this?
Ages ago. And one of the people there was like, are those fucking pockets? And you're like, oh, yeah, bitch!
Yeah, and we immediately bonded over pockets. Like,
I think if you scroll back in our history in the Discord, there's a couple instances where I throw Penny onto the track specifically to just derail Moo by mentioning pockets and just all caps.
Pockets equality.
Yeah. Just all caps.
This is why I like the winter. I get extra pockets.
I think that's just one of the things that you, again, for my life, it's so normalized in navigating some aspects of body dysmorphia and gender dysphoria are ingrained in what I do on a daily basis and the things that I think about, whether it's to accommodate somebody else or, I mean, body dysmorphia, that's just in the things that I do to mitigate that. So, like, I hope, if nothing else, that there are people out there that they do feel seen, that they feel honored. Not honored that we're talking about them in such a way that you're like, you should be honored, we talked about you, that came out wrong. But, like, I want to honor the struggle that they go through. Because it sucks. The world is hard. And it seems like, especially for people who are different and who are othered, we make it even harder. So, again, whether you choose to share your struggles publicly or if this is just a way you feel inside, it makes you no less important and it makes your struggle no less real. So thank you for asking us to talk about this. I apologize if we did not. I apologize if we were clunky and clumsy about it. If you want to reach out and educate us, I would love to hear that. I would love the opportunity to be better and do better and be a better ally for the people who need it. So, anything to add?
I have one thing real quick. I'm going to call out one person, but not by real name. Thumper, can you please, give us a little of your insight? That would be amazing. And the person that knows Thumper, you can tell them to listen to this and to have us be corrected. Or did we get it right? Because they're going through. I
think it's different for everybody, right? Like I said, I have a friend. My friend, he does not identify as transgender. If you ask him, he will tell you, I'm a man. It's not a transgender thing anymore. Now, mm-hmm. Physically, maybe, yeah, but that's just not how his brain identifies. It never was.
Yeah.
So, but for some people, they will tell you, you know, I'm not a trans woman, I'm a woman. Or they will say, I am a trans woman, I am a trans man. It's different for everybody. And again, your journey is no less important because it's different from somebody else's.
Go for it, Merlin.
Okay. I was going to say, I think that that is a wonderful place to go ahead and wrap things up. As has been stated multiple times, in a matter of speaking, our answers, our views, our opinions, they don't come from a hateful place. They come from a place of ignorance, but not stupidity, mind you. It's just that we do not know. We would love to know, and, you know, as long as, you know, respect is shown both ways, obviously. You know what I mean? If that makes sense? You know, don't get a hold of us and say, you stupid motherfuckers. It's like, we're sorry? We're trying? it's just that we are ignorant, and it is because some of us have not, you know, dealt with it hands-on. But that doesn't mean you can't be nice to each other. So, be excellent to each other, my friends. And thank you so much for listening to the Nerdgasm Podcast, where we talk about things that are nerdy and things that are naughty.
You did that weird. Normally, I know. You end with be excellent to each other, and that's where I launch into my spiel. But you did it weird, that's and now right. You've made this weird.
You made it weird, you because you called it out.
Motherfucker.
That's right. You're not my mom, Todd.
You say you fucked my mom, Todd?
He said you're not my mom, Todd. You fucked my mom, Todd.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Listen, I'm going to try to salvage this guy. Sorry. Enjoy yourself. What?
Said he found a stranger in the Alps.
Enjoy yourselves?
Did you find a stranger in the Alps?
No, but they found a guy that was like 3,000 years old frozen in the ice in the Alps a few years back.
I did not know.
Oh, yes. I remember that. It was a woman, I believe.
I just had trivia leaking out of my head. No biggie.
So as always, friends, please remember to be excellent to each other.
Enjoy yourselves and love yourselves. Be good to yourselves and give yourselves grace. I apologize for being a bitch tonight.
Your path is your own, but you are not alone.
How many episodes before that happened?
Before I apologize for being a bitch? This is season 2, episode 50. So we're coming up on almost 2 full official years of the Nerdgasm Podcast.
That's awesome. 52 weeks. Guess what? We have one last announcement. We've just started a TikTok. You can find us at Nerdgasm on TikTok. We will be putting previews out. Yes.
That's right. Go ahead and check out all of our links at linktr.ee/nerdgasm spelled.
And 3RDGA5M.
That's right.
Can you make this be the preview? Just me like, wah, 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 with no other explanation?
Yeah, we can do that.
Just why that, not? Just wah, 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 and nothing else.
We'll pull in video.
Next time, friends, viewers, listeners, allies, etc., 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 we will go ahead and talk at you later. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye, friends. Thought you were going to bite me.
To put the fear of God in you.